You and I might spend about 70 to 80 years on this earth. Not long when you consider the timeline of eternity. Have you ever wondered what life is all about? Every day we get bombarded with the message to pursue the things of this world. Make money, get stuff, be comfortable, live well. More, 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 and me, me, me. That's the prevailing message of our day. Our generation has a hijacked version of the American dream. But as Christians, we know deep down this distorted view of life isn't real life. We read what the Bible teaches, and we see how Jesus lived. Every day we face a choice, to pursue the me, me, me mindset of the American dream, or to pursue Christ. What if this generation was willing to trade in the pursuit of the American dream for a world that desperately needs Christ, to be traders? A trader is a new kind of missionary, not defined by geography. Where you live doesn't make you a missionary. The mission you're on makes you a missionary. Being a trader is a movement that requires us to live out our faith, not just talk about it. As a trader, we must choose daily to sacrifice and be intentional with our time, money, and skills. We can be like the Good Samaritan in the parable. When we're on the road of life and see someone in need, we choose to help. We follow Jesus' instructions to go and do likewise. A trader must hate injustice and find specific ways to bring the hope found in Jesus to desperate situations. It's easy to identify what you hate, what makes your heart break and your fists clench. A trader sees work as worship. Everything you do in life, including your job, can be an opportunity to worship the God who created you. Because God is glorified when we use our God-given passions and skills with excellence. And finally, a trader must act swiftly, because the time is right now. The result of all this would be a generation of traders who are making choices with their time, money, and passions that are kingdom-focused and not self-focused, so that our short time here can have an eternal impact.
For some of you, really hard to follow that, right? Not an easy one. Keep that in mind as I share with you a few thoughts from Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, you can use a few Bibles this morning. This will be a shortened message this morning because we want to do something else in this service that is really, really crucial. But I invite you to open up to Matthew 9 as I set the context for what we will do a little bit later. We'll be focusing, and I'll read the last verses of this chapter. That, if you're looking in your Bibles, that's like page 964. But if you take what's said at the end of the chapter in context with some of the previous experiences, this is how we could summarize it. At the beginning of the chapter, in the verses 9 to 12, Jesus invites a man on the fringe of society to follow him. He's a morally corrupt man, and he probably knows it. In this case, he's a shrewd tax man, actually a cheat. But Jesus even sits down to discuss life with him. And critics are quick to the draw, religious critics at that. Is Jesus not condoning that man's immoral behavior by spending time with him? Are you, Jesus, not making yourself one with him? Nope, says Jesus, I'm just a doctor helping a person who is sick. Verses 27 to 30, two other people on the fringe of society, they are blind, and in that society, blindness was often viewed as a curse of God. They begin to follow him on their own accord. They desperately need something from him, their eyesight, and they get it simply by trusting the miracle worker Jesus. He said to them, according to your faith, be it done to you. They believe and they're healed. They don't completely follow through on his instructions after that, but that we can talk about another time. Verses 32 to 34, another man on the fringe. This one manifesting a serious speech impediment. In fact, he can't even speak at all. That's the outworking of a demonic spirit that is oppressing him. In his case, he is actually brought to Jesus by others. And Jesus frees him of the evil spirit. And he too, like those two previous men, begins to speak of the great things God has done for him. And once again, the critics are quick to the draw. Jesus could only have done that with the help of the devil himself. Really? And so continues the life, the journey of this man called Jesus from day to day, preaching and teaching the good news, helping and healing as he goes, as proof of the pudding, as proof of his message, the kingdom of God has drawn near. This is the life that he has come to share with others, to give on account of others and for their benefit. So where does that man, Jesus, get the strength? Not just to do those miracles, but also to put up with those harsh critics and also relate to those who just can't obey his orders, even after he's displayed his mercy and power toward them. Here it is, verses 35 to 38 in chapter 9 of Matthew, page 964 in your Bibles. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I think the key statement, at least for this message this morning, is in verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. That's a little bit different than those that priest and the Levite in Luke chapter 10, who also saw a man in desperate need. He was dying, and they saw him in his need, and they passed him by. Not so with Jesus. He sees the crowds, has compassion for them, because he sees that they are harassed, helpless, like sheep that have no shepherd. We are all sort of like that. Helpless, harassed, self-determined, and yet lost, aren't we? And he is always like that. Compassionate, ready to serve and help so that people hear and experience the good news of the kingdom that he embodies. I find this totally amazing. He then invites those who are far from sinless, like he is, to join forces with him, to become his apprentices in sharing and demonstrating the good news in word and deed. He's talking actually about you and me, not just about those 12 apostles in the passage. But do note in this passage, before they are called to step it up, to go into action, they are called to pray. Why? Why pray when there's so much need, so many people needing compassion? What happens there? I think, if I've understood it right and experienced it to a certain degree, as we pray sincerely from the heart, seeking God's mind on life, asking him for his input, for his guidance, does it not happen that we begin to actually access his own heart and his burning passion for those he created, for those who also woefully fall short of his grand designs for them, and for those who desperately need a savior? Hora et labora. Three Latin words that mean pray and work. An ancient slogan and guiding principle of the monks. Now, you don't need to become a monk to understand the truth of that statement, those three words. They come actually right out of Scripture. They're embedded right in this passage that I just read. Pray first, And as you do so, you gain God's perspective on life in general and God's perspective on the people around you in particular. And then he sends you off on your own personal journey as a herald of kingdom news. And in chapter 10, if you would read on, which we won't do, after they've prayed or after they've been called to first pray, then he calls them, he authorizes them, and he sends those 12 apostles on their way as his emissaries. So what's the upshot of this for us here in Steinbach this morning? We are all missionaries. We are all God's emissaries right here in Steinbach, and some of us get called to go beyond that as well. We all have a mission. We all are on a mission. The question is, are we faithfully fulfilling it in the strength that God gives us? Are we doing what he wants? Are we fulfilling our callings, living under the authority of our Master, our Lord, and our Shepherd, Jesus? So let's think of some of the needs out there that Jesus, I believe, would have us express our compassion towards. Firstly, our current sent ones. Missionaries, we call them. We will be praying for them later on. Chris Thiessen will lead us in that. I draw your attention, especially this morning, though, to Morgan Serger, who's out of commission at this time due to ongoing concussion symptoms that have gotten pretty serious. So he's on a two-month absolute rest, not even with his family at this time. So we want to think of our current sent ones. But then we want to think of the people of Haiti and Cuba. More about this with the offering shortly. We could also include some Americans in that, but they typically have easier and quicker access to disaster relief than those in Haiti and Cuba. Hit by the most severe hurricane in decades, 250-kilometer-an-hour winds. Think of that. If that would happen here in Steinbach, half the trees would probably be leveled, depending on the kind of tree it is. Many of our roofs, we'd be sitting here this morning, and they'll have been blown off. Do you at least try to feel the devastation of the people in the Western Hemisphere's poorest country? Interesting that we hear right now lots of Haiti, and part of our offering will go towards a project related to that this morning, and almost none of Cuba, but the two islands kind of were left and right of that hurricane that went right up over them, the eastern part of Cuba, the western part of Haiti. I asked Ruth Aver, who's been in mission for 40 years for our church and with our church in various places, Toronto, Africa, and so on. And she also ministers to churches and pastors in eastern Cuba that just got hit by the devastation. I asked her, why don't we hear anything about Cuba in the news? Have you noticed that? There's nothing mentioned about Cuba. Well, she said, because it's still a communist country, they pride themselves in keeping such news from the public, their own public and the international public at all costs. So the devastation that you hear about Cuba, it's probably just as bad in the eastern part of Cuba. In Haiti, is just as bad in the eastern part of Cuba. People of Haiti and Cuba, our current sent ones. And finally, the people of Aleppo, Syria. The largest Syrian city, in the midst of a six-year civil war, completely in ruins, but the bombings continue. Senseless, brutal. Because of what? Because of whom? Some power mongers at the top in Russia or Syria or elsewhere. It's a tragedy, huge human tragedy. Three groups that I've only mentioned here. Maybe they could act as a bit of representative of many other people in the world. We have sent ones. There's people suffering from an incredible natural disaster. and then people suffering and dying senselessly at the hands of human beings in a man-made war disaster. So maybe we can consider their plight as representative of the plight of many others around the globe. And so I want to conclude following this text from Matthew 9 with two questions. Actually, two invitations. Firstly, if you have not begun following Jesus, journeying with Jesus, to begin doing so today. To do so from the heart. You are a sheep, helpless in ultimate matters, the things that really matter in life, floating aimlessly through life, though you might not really acknowledge that. He is the shepherd, waiting to connect, desiring to lead, willing to save you. To save you ultimately from yourself. Will you trust him as your shepherd today? Will you entrust, give yourself, give your trust to him today? Maybe a prayer like this could help. Jesus, shepherd of my soul, take over complete control of my life today. I need you. I submit to you as my Savior and guide. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. That's all of us until we come back to the shepherd. But the text is especially written about and to those who are already following Jesus. So here's another invitation for those who are already following, namely to learn to view life, all of life, the people around you and the people beyond you, the ones you hear about or see in the news, to learn to view life, your life and that of others, as Jesus, your shepherd, does. And then responding compassionately as he did, leaving the results to God. Maybe this prayer could become your prayer this morning. Lord, I am your emissary, your missionary. Send me to whomever, whenever. Make me a blessing to others today. May God help us as a church to be people that truly embody the spirit of Christ, as exemplified in this text. At this time, I would like to call upon Bob Winkler to come up front and introduce this morning's offering. Thanksgiving offering is a very special time, so I hope that you'll dig deep into your wallets this morning or into your checkbooks. Be generous. Bob, take it away.
First of all, I just want to say that it is a joy to give, and I hope and trust that you have all experienced that in the past, to be able to give to people who are in need and experience that joy that God can give you in giving. The wonderful blessings that he gives to us, and we can dig into our pocket and give back to others. Then I just want to talk about the difference between designated and undesignated giving today. Designated giving is where you write on this little white envelope, somewhere on it, you designate where you want that offering to go. And then we will honor that and send the money wherever you are asking us to send it to. However, what I'm going to be talking about right now is the undesignated amount. That's where you put your money in whatever form into this this envelope, and you don't give us any direction as to where it should go. You just simply give it to SMBC and allow us to distribute it the way that we see fit. That's what I'll be talking about today. So approximately 2 years ago, give or take, you as a membership empowered the leadership team here to decide how that Thanksgiving offering would be distributed. And we decided at that time that 50% of the undesignated amount on Thanksgiving offerings would remain here at SMBC, that 35% of the undesignated amount would go to Midway Bible Camp for the next 3 years, and this would now be the second of those 3 years. And finally, every year we would look for the need of the hour. And as we were pondering and praying about this need of the hour, we were having a difficult time. We spent much time in prayer. We talked about it. We emailed back and forth and trying to find this need of the hour. We were having a difficult time. Last year, you'll remember, it was the Syrian refugee crisis, which ultimately led to our church sponsoring the Abdullahi family, which has been a great experience for us, and I trust for them also. A couple of weeks ago, we announced that this year's need of the hour would be that we would put 15%, that 15% of the undesignated amount aside so that we could mount a missions trip of some sort in 2017, where a number of our members could take part in and be blessed in, and also be a blessing to those who we would be serving. We felt that this would have an eternal impact for those who went out to serve and for those who we would be serving. Then, on October 4th, 2016, Haiti was hit by Hurricane Matthew, a major tropical cyclone that caused widespread destruction and devastation in a country that's still recovering, by the way, from a massive and deadly earthquake in 2010. So it seems the desperate need of the hour is clean, fresh water to fight cholera and other waterborne diseases. We heard, and no doubt many of you did also, that there is a group from the Abundant Life Fellowship Church in Grunthal who are going to Haiti to deliver 2,000 water filters that each have the ability to filter 150 gallons of water per day. And this they will be able to do for approximately 10 years. We have been in contact with their pastor, Adam Dick, to get more details and to see, are you actually going? Is this coming together? And the answer is yes, they are going. And then we wanted to know, how is your fundraising going for this missions trip that you're going on? And at our last conversation with him, they have enough donations for 500 of those 2,000 filters. So we would like to partner with them by giving the 15% of the undesignated portion of our offering to them through the mission organization that they are using, which is Global Effect. During this month, all the money that is going to Global Effect will be sent to the Haiti missions, and they'll be sending these water filters. So, in essence, we are honoring our commitment that this is a missions organized thing that we want to do. But we also want to go a step further and say that we'd like to honor the rest of that commitment by saying that if you'd like to go along with them, and apparently there's two trips that are being planned. You can contact Adam Dick, and Pastor Walter has graciously said that if you'd like to go to see him, he will help you with some contact information there so that you too would be able to go and take part in this. So again, what a blessing to be able to have and to be able to give. And so I hope that you keep that in mind this morning as you give an offering, our Thanksgiving offering this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you are an awesome and wonderful God, that you are always with us. And as we reflect upon this past year, we see the great blessings and the great triumphs that we have had here. But we also see that we are not immune. We also have great heartaches and sorrows among us. But through it all, Lord, we have seen your hand of love. We have seen your hand of guidance. And we thank you for the comfort that we receive from you. We thank you that we are continually feeling your presence. We thank you that you are still a God that who is good to us. We thank you that we have the joy of the Lord in all circumstances. We have hope. We feel encouraged by you. And to that end, Lord, we pray especially for the people of Haiti that you give them that hope, that you give them that encouragement. May they see your love for them through those who give generously of their time and their resources to meet the needs that they now have. And Lord, in general, for this offering that we give back to you today, We thank you for the blessings you've given to us, and we ask that you would multiply it in the building of your kingdom. In your most precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Thank you both very much. As a church, we formally have supported 8 missionaries or missionary couples. And right now what we'd like to do is have a time of prayer to support them. I'd like to call up the music team at this time. And I'm going to read through a few prayer requests. We contacted each of the missionaries that our church supports and to ask for a prayer request this morning. And so I'm going to read through them and explain a little bit of each of them. And after I've read through them, the requests will be up behind me as well. After I've read through them, I'm going to ask you to break into groups of 4 or 5 or 6 or so and pray for our missionaries. And we're going to have a time of prayer to support them. And the requests will stay up on the screen, so you don't have to remember or quickly write notes for them all. I'm going to try to summarize them, give a little more information than what's up there. But I hope you're all aware that we have a missionary mailbox kind of close to where the church office is. It's a white mailbox. And their prayer letters are there. And there's a whole lot more information and that I don't have time to share this morning. But I encourage you to pick up those letters and read them and pray for them and pray for the specific requests. So here, first up, Jeremy and Adrian. This is the young couple that we've just sent to Thailand just this past year. Their prayer request is that the leaders of the Burmese church plants are meeting right now for a month of training. And so let's pray for the meetings, but let's also pray for the home churches that now are without leadership for a month, and pray that new leadership arises and that these churches can maintain can be strong while they're waiting for their leaders to come back. For Sandra Plett, Sandra's team is hosting a retreat this weekend for all of the pastors and all of the leaders of the MB conference across Mexico. Lloyd and Carol Etkeman, they are mission mobilizers here in Manitoba. Let's pray for them as they help organize and run so many different programs. Pray for wisdom and for volunteers as they run SOAR Heartland, SOAR Saskatchewan, Action, Trek, and there's a new program as well called Discipleship on Mission. Pray for Cole and Rebecca. They are directors of Midway Bible Camp up by Thompson. And actually right now the whole Bergen family is in North Carolina for a training program. And the whole family's there. They're far from home. Everything's very different. So let's pray for the training and for the family and that they can return and be very effective when they come back home again. But pray also for the boys as well, that they can sleep and everything else that goes with being away from home for so long. Morgan and Krista, they've been part of the mission up by Thompson as well. Pastor Walter shared, though, Morgan's health concerns, and let's pray for Morgan while he's out of commission. Their prayer letter is really long. It's one page, double-sided, and it's a wonderful story in there, and they share a bit of their struggles, but they also share about the transition they're going to be going from one mission to another, and they're looking forward to actually being missionaries on a reservation. So that's really exciting, and especially for Krista without her husband right now, and she's expecting another baby, so that's a whole lot on her plate as well. Pray for Melissa, for her to have good relationships with the locals, and to be diligent in all the tasks that come up through daily life. Pray for Mike Keeler. He's our missionary closest to home. He works here locally with Youth for Christ and with the Steinbeck Pistons. Let's pray for wisdom and for boldness in relationships and for planning as another new hockey season has started. And let's pray for Samir and Louisa Youssef. They work with Muslims in the Middle East, and it's a very difficult area. So let's pray for wisdom and effectiveness and opportunities in their mission and all that they're involved with. So right now, I would encourage you to rise, get into groups of about 4, 5, or 6, and let's have a time of prayer.
Yes, in worship this morning. That was a great way to conclude the service this morning. And now it's time to continue by enjoying a lunch together. a lunch that will conclude with the Lord's Supper. We won't prolong that too long, but we ask that the first people that are done, just stay if possible. If you have young kids and you feel you need to go, then that's okay. But otherwise, just wait. At the appropriate time, I'll get up and just lead us in a short time of remembering our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, right around the tables that we're sitting at. So here's how we do it. For those of you who are new, some of you are experienced at this. After I said the concluding prayer, and I'll include a prayer for lunch, you can go out this exit and downstairs. You'll just follow the flow and pick up your food along the tables that are set up in front of the counter. And some of you can also go down that way, that doorway, and go to pick up your food. Once you've picked up your food, I would ask that you proceed to the far back, that corner of the fellowship hall downstairs, so that the newer people that come in don't always have to try to find their way through those chairs that are a little bit narrow on a day like this. So move right to the back, fill up from the back to the front. And once we are done with the meals, we'd ask for you to cooperate by helping clean off your table, each table responsible for itself, to bring it to the stations where you stack up the dishes and so on. And but before that happens, we'll have a short time of the Lord's Supper. Okay, so I think that's clear. Wish you a great time together. And if you've connected with somebody here who's new to the church, why not just turn around and say, we can sit together at lunch table too if you want, and get to know them a little bit closer. So let's stand as we conclude for a final prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, truly we have been blessed this morning by coming together to worship you, to receive what you had for us. You've encouraged us in our faith. You've strengthened us. You've given us a vision for what you are doing in the world. And so we ask that we would take all that we have experienced here with us in our hearts and minds as we leave this place later this afternoon. And may we truly be a blessing for each person we come into contact with in some shape or form, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for the time we can spend together eating around the tables now. May you bless the food, Lord. Bless especially the team that has been busy and hard at work to make this mealtime possible for us. So we commit this whole mealtime to you. Give us a great time of fellowship around the tables. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go with God's blessing.